The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and the Washington Commanders have 10 wins on the season. The haters said it couldn't happen, but you know what happened? They got a new quarterback that threw for five freaking touchdowns.
Five.
You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I am great, JP. What's happening with you, brother?
It's ass cold outside, and there's no traffic because
can you imagine how cold it was this morning?
I tell you what, B, yesterday at that game, there's a million moments to go through.
Yeah.
The run on 4th and 11 was just incredible. They had to go for it on 4th and 11. But the poise and the resolve and just the guts of this team, it's a team win. But for Jaden Daniels, a rookie quarterback against the hottest team in football, Philly had won 10 in a row, to throw that interception, it was a bad throw. You throw an interception under 3 minutes to go, you're trying to come back for the win. A lot of people, frankly, most people turtle. Most people collapse. Most people don't bounce back, at least in that game, in that moment. And it was about a minute of game time later, he takes them on a 9-play, 57-yard, game-winning touchdown drive. And just the calmness on that drive.
Yeah.
You know me, I get amped up about clock issues. I thought they were going a little too slow. When they ran the ball on third down after calling their last timeout, then they had to clock it, 10 seconds left, two plays to get in the end zone, and it's second down. I was like, all right, you've clearly set this up where this is all you think you need. And then Jaden, for all the talk of the throws he made yesterday, and I don't know that we're going to see a better one than the McLaurin touchdown in the left.
Oh, that was great. With a guy right in his face.
But B, the throw to Crowder before he even starts that break to the back of the end zone. I mean, the amount of backers and DBs that are closing in on that middle of the field, that thing's got to be an absolute laser, an absolute trust it. And damn, Washington has something special at the quarterback position.
But see, it's what we talked about for years where I've said it where rookie quarterbacks normally throw at the person instead of throwing to a spot. He let that ball go to a spot, and that spot was where no other defenders were, and he knew his guy was going to that spot, and he hit Crowder. I think the ultimate thing is you hear Dan Quinn always saying how Jaden has a great ability to move on and not worry about what just happened. And to be honest with you, if you go through life, whatever happens has happened. You can't change it.
Sure.
You know, you could sit up here and you could worry about it, and then it snowballs and it becomes worse. But the best thing to do is forget the hell about it and move to the next play, and he does that unbelievably. When a play happens, good or bad, he's normally not a guy who shows much emotion. He showed emotion once he hit Crowder yesterday. Believe me, I've never seen him get so demonstrative. But that game showed me a lot about this football team. I looked at the clock in the first quarter. It was about 3 minutes and something left on the clock. Saquon Barkley had 109 yards rushing.
I think he had seven carries.
From that point to the end of the game, So basically, 3 quarters and 4 minutes, to say it like that, he had 41 yards rushing. They did something differently. And I know people will only see the big play he ran against the defense, but that damn defense did something great. Frankie Louvu, the way he set the damn quarterback up and dropped right back into it.
That was a we're going to talk about Jaden and the touchdowns, and there's so much to be pleased by, whatever it is. The interception from Louvu, the team was absolutely desperate at that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Philly had gone touchdown, touchdown. Washington had turned it over on downs and then had a fumble. They were desperate for a possession and just a stop. They didn't get a lot done right there. I mean, they still ended up when they had gone downs, fumble, punt, then you got Pickett in the game. And for Louvu, especially the week after he dropped one in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked him about that after the game. He's like, man, you know I was beating myself up all week. What people don't realize in the locker room and stuff, Frankie had basically told the media, he's like, guys, I was so bad last week. I really don't want to have to talk. I understand if I have to. Frankie's been fantastic for this team all mm-hmm. year.
Yeah.
And he certainly wasn't bad. He dropped an INT, right? Like, things happen. And he was beating himself up all week that on a human level, I was so happy for Frankie to get the interception. And then that completely turns the tide because it's 14-0. Philly's driving there. He gets the pick. Washington's able to bust in to get their first touchdown. So instead of what could have been 17-0, maybe 21-0, it goes to 14-7. Now, Philly responds right away. That's when Saquon hits the home run, the 68-yarder. But after that long Saquon run, these are Philly's possessions in the second quarter. Punt, 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 missed field goal. Now, they shouldn't have, in my opinion, probably shouldn't have gotten that field goal chance. I think they botched the clock a little at the end of the first half. But hindsight, right? Washington couldn't do a heck of a lot either. We got to have it. At some point, Lanville put it on the show sheet. We got to talk about the B-Rob fumbles. But Washington in the second quarter goes fumble, touchdown, punt, pick.
Well, I just think the whole thing with the B-Rob fumbles is guys are not trying to tackle you anymore. You saw the game last night, Deron Bland.
Yeah, that's a hell of a play.
They tackle the football. And what guys have to understand, when you're on your way to the ground, that is when you better bring that other hand and lock tight. And B-Rob was trying on the last one, but that ball just came out, man. People are going to yank at that football. You know, but football, we watched the game, and you look at that game yesterday. I'd rather a game like what I saw yesterday. What it showed me was that we've questioned this team about where they are, what they're doing, the coaching, whatever. You saw a bunch of guys that are together, okay? I watched after that game, and I saw Bobby Wagner getting interviewed. After he got interviewed, they pulled in Terry, one of the other captains. Bobby was walking off the field. He stopped, turned around, and waited for the whole interview.
I watched it.
And then you watch those two dudes come together, and you go, okay, cool, cool. When you got that type of leadership on this team and this belief in each other, and you look at the coach, how they fight for Dan and stuff like that, they have some special making. And I want to just add a little bit to it for all the people who still want to move the damn goal line, move the goalpost. Every time they do something, they haven't beat a team that has a winning record. They beat a team with a winning record yesterday after not having a great game. So it shows you how good they possibly are. They're in the first year of a rebuild, people. First year of a rebuild. And if you can't see that, then you're a damn fool. You know? Listen, there's a lot of people that don't want to give them any credit. And I just say you have to be just a straight hater or a damn fool if you can't give them credit in that situation.
Listen, I've heard it a lot this morning. Lanville, I'd also like to open an investigation if you can. I'm fairly confident Jeff's just wearing the same clothes he wore yesterday, but we can get to that later. I've heard it from the Eagles fans enough, and they've been in my mentions and all this stuff. And let me be clear, I don't care about you. But a lot of people are going to try to discount this win because Hurts went down. And yo,
people get hurt.
That's a part of the game.
Okay, like, and the first game against them, we had a bunch of people hurt too, right?
Like, injuries happen.
And nobody wanted to hear that.
I'm not denying it. What you should care about if you're a Washington fan is, and B, I think it's easy for people to be cynical or at least skeptical about brotherhood and culture and all these things we've heard from DQ really since he got the gig, right? But at some point, it's the Christmas season, Lamphill. Maybe you just got to use your eyes and see. I asked this question of a number of players in the locker room yesterday. What's it like to be part of a team where you know you're never out of it? And at this point, they've stacked together enough wins. Dude, the Bears win is a Hail Mary. It's kind of fluky. The odds of completing that.
It happened, though.
Right.
It's a play that you practice and try to work on.
But I think yesterday was something else entirely. They were down, they were down, they were down, and they just kept fighting. They just kept coming back. And teams do not win with five turnovers. It doesn't happen. And
if they don't have any resolve, they don't, for sure.
I think to that drive at the end, if you are a Washington fan, is the biggest reason for excitement, hope, whatever it is, because it is just so obvious. And we've heard this over and over throughout the year, that in that locker room, nobody's worried that technically Jaden's a rookie. He is just their leader. He has proven
after those three games that, like I told you, Monte Coleman's after three games, you're no longer considered a rookie. Dude. And I heard Biadasz talking about him. He said, this kid doesn't act like a rookie. And every once in a while, you get somebody like that. And luckily, he's the guy that's taking the snap and touching the ball every offensive play.
Dude, I asked Cosme, what's it like to block for a guy where, hey, you know you might have to try to keep your blocks longer because he's going to try to make something happen. And to a man, the answer is we'll do whatever we have to do because we know he gives us a chance to win no matter what. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. This team has warts. This team has injuries. They are completely incapable of running the football. We now have a month's evidence on this. Something has shifted. They have not run, outside of that Tennessee game, the last six games, they've been unable to run the ball. And what happens? Jaden makes plays with his legs in gotta-have-it moments. 4th-and-11 to break a 30-yard run. He finishes as their leading rusher, 9-for-81. And then what he did yesterday to just put this team on his back, 24-39 for 260 with five freaking touchdowns. And one, you have to compliment guys, it's a next man up league, and these fellas just keep doing it. For Crowder, who was tweaked that calf going all the way back to training camp, right? I mean, that was an August issue. And then he's able to open the season on the roster. Then it gets worse. They throw him on IR. Then he's just languishing, man. And B, you could probably speak to how tough this is mentally. J-Mo was ready to go probably by Halloween, if not mid-November. And because of the way NFL rosters work, he just kind of was stuck in no man's land on IR. You know how hard that is mentally just to have to sit through it? And then to come back, and he's immediately thrust into the punt return role because they trust him. He showed you why yesterday, just some very professional plays in punt return. And to catch two touchdowns, including the game winner, do you know what he finished with stat line? Two catches for two touchdowns.
Two catches, two touchdowns, 50. He reminds me of James Jenkins back in like 93 or 4. James, I think, had 9 receptions. He had 7 touchdowns. He said, all I do is make touchdowns. And Crowder was like that yesterday. But you watch him, even in the Saints game, he is key.
He can get open.
He can get open, and that's the thing about it. But the whole thing about it,
he's wiggly.
He's not a guy who's been around for 1-2 years. Crowder's been around for some years now.
Veteran.
The guy's a veteran who understands it's not about how often you play. It's about the impact you have when you play. And he's always ready. You know, I watched him coming in and out of that tunnel for weeks. And I dap him up, and you can see in his face, like, his look was like, dawg, I can't wait to get out there.
Right.
Which means I'm prepared for this. And he steps on the field. And I think any young guy watching him, or you need to watch him to understand how you get through this league, man. It's like you get thrust into situations at times when you have to just be prepared. Hell, 1990, hey, Brian, you got to play quarterback. You think I was totally prepared for it? I was prepared for the little plays they gave me, but mentally I wasn't ready for that crap till I stepped on that field.
Sure.
And I think that's the thing about it. You got to be ready when the time is called. You don't get the time to say, hold, let me warm up a little bit. You got to just hit the ground running.
How about a guy like Olamide Zaccheaus when, you know, they signed him this offseason, and I think real ones knew he had played some ball. Like, if you go back and look at his career, especially in Atlanta, he was capable of probably being a third receiver. He had a 500-yard season, a 40-catch season. But a lot of people, it's easy to be dismissive because it's not a big name and there's not been a Pro Bowl, whatever. You know how many touchdown catches OZ has this year?
About four or five?
Two. They both Two? Came yesterday and they needed them.
I thought he had some earlier.
It's just at some point, man, they have put together a roster, an organization. And, Brian, I think we either played or I read the quotes from DQ about development. And it's one thing you've stressed for a long time yep. is that, yeah, you got to get your best players ready for every game, but you got to have every player ready for when they get called on.
There you go.
And I think you see that with this roster in a way that you really haven't before.
And when you have that approach, Jay, your team is much better. See, this is the thing about people that are around football or around professional sports and people that are not around it. When you have a professional football team, everyone is a professional. No one on that team is a college guy or high school guy. They're all professionals. But people look at it like, oh, if you're not the first rounder, the second rounder, you're not an important person. But the coach has to get everybody ready to go. And I think when you look at this football team, they seem to have faith in everybody that they decided to keep. You know, how many times have we seen people keep people because they seem to like them? Or they just did everything they said. And when they got a chance to play football, you go, why the hell is he here? When they give guys chances, you go, damn, why that guy's not playing more? And I think that competition thing keeps that going. So, listen, as I was saying yesterday, the way they went down and scored, I say, this makes me happy. And I ain't too happy about a lot of damn things. I was happy as hell yesterday the way I saw those guys fight, stay there at the end and take it.
Three things I wanted to specifically mention because I have the memory of a moth and will forget. Also, who is that dude? But regardless.
That's Brian.
What's up, Brian?
And he's a Giants fan.
How you doing?
Brian, who are you pulling for? Accidents on Friday. I said, who are you pulling for the game? He said, first of all, let me let y'all know I'm a Giants fan. I say, well, that's not a good way to start in this town.
All right, we'll find out all about Brian later. I just kept looking. I was like, that's not White Mike. Who the hell is that?
It's White Brian.
Three things. And all three of them, I think, speak to the culture they have built. And I understand we all feel allergic and kind of want to gag when we hear the word culture after 4 years of Rivera trying to espouse the word culture when it was clearly hollow and transparent. Three things that stood out to me yesterday on a number of things, right? Like the headline is Jaden, but there's a lot of stuff here. B's just knocking over cans of Monster.
Hey, man, I need energy. I've been up since 4-something this morning. What the hell?
Two veterans coming off concussions that we didn't see either of those guys playing. Ertz and Chin. Chin gives you 100% of defensive snaps.
Yeah.
Chin's out there for every play. Yeah. Ertz makes a huge catch late in that game to pick up a first down. They are playing for the guys in that locker room.
But, you know, they're playing for the guys in the locker room. But Wednesday, the report came out that Chin was at practice.
Right.
And then Ertz was there Thursday. You heard Ertz was there. And at that moment, I immediately stated they're playing. Because let's be real.
You don't come back
to
practice.
The guys that don't normally play, they don't practice until Friday or Saturday or even get out there. When you're on the field Wednesday, you've already passed protocol to even be able to be on the field.
Well, and we were able to talk to both of them in the locker room by the end of the week, which shows you. I mean,
exactly. Not,
but the last thing I wanted to say, and I thought of you specifically. Throughout the season, a lot of folks have been asking, like, oh, man, when are they going to figure this out with Luke McCaffrey? What's he got? He's not giving you anything. He's got 18 catches for 168 yards on the season. But if you didn't see what Luke gave them yesterday as a return man, it completely changed the game. And I want to give credit to DQ because the only times I've really knocked him this year is when I feel like he's been inconsistent. I feel like they've developed a really consistent, aggressive mindset where they want to play fast, hit hard, go downhill. And part of what DQ said is when we see the edges, where we see opportunities to make plays, we want to take advantage. That's why they kicked off to Kevontae Turpin. You saw it yesterday. They were kicking off to these guys because they think their coverage units can make a difference. McCaffrey in the return game yesterday averaged 30.7 yards, had a 50-yard return. That's a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
And if these teams are going to kick to him, he's going
to
take it every time.
I can't wait to see him.
He's running hard. He's running aggressive.
I can't wait to see him because he got another 40 yards early.
Dude, and
that first one when he was going, instead of just planting and getting straight up the field, if he plants get up the field, he might break it.
And he'll learn that stuff.
Oh, yes. Yes.
If you figure out something about it, now.
These coaches know when these guys are ready and what they can do. You know, they're not having a guy who's killing it every day in practice and say, oh, we're not going to play him yet. They play him when they know they're ready to take it.
Ron Jaworski joins us at 11. Phone lines at 11:30. We're going to figure out who Brian is at some point. Nobody go anywhere.